We are now in the book of Amos. Hard to find, but if you could go into the middle of your Bibles to the minor prophets, kind of towards the end of the Old Testament. We are in a tough, rough book of judgment. And so if you remember while you're turning there, and everybody should open your app or open your Bible, you should never go to a church or Bible study where you don't need your Bible. That should never happen. And we want to get used to turning pages or reading along with us so that you're used to going to the Word of God for yourself. Everything that we say up here is going to be backed up by the Word of God when we go through the Scriptures, because that's what it's all about. Mark Manley shared something with me this week. It was the amount of churches, without getting into any detail, that believe core foundations of the faith, believe that the Word of God is living and active, believe it, and who actually teach the Word of God. And not just throw a Bible verse up there and make jokes and funny things. And the percentage was, he was so wonderful. Here he is going through it, and he's encouraging us. He says, thank you guys for being a church that does this. And the percentage was under 10% that he sent me of churches that do that anymore, because it's not always a seat filler. And sometimes the things that I'm going to say for you from the Word are not... sometimes they're going to be convicting, and sometimes they're going to be challenging, but that's a part of growing in the Lord, right? And so it's not all rah, 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 sis, boom, bah, you know. Part of it is the harder things in the Lord. And so if you remember, Amos right now in Israel is divided, Israel in the north, Judah in the south. It's a very prosperous time for them both. No one is attacking in the north. If you guys are just joining us, Israel had all wicked kings, like King Jeroboam, and Judah in the south, where Jerusalem was and the temple was. They had some good kings like Uzziah, but by and large, it wasn't superb. Up in Israel, in the northern section, in Bethel and in Dan, they so didn't want them to go to Judah. They so didn't want them to worship God in the temple, because they were afraid they'd go down there. They made places of worship up north so that they can worship God up there. And that was completely contrary to what God said. And so they're just like, don't worry about it. Just worship this way. Hey, that was old school. Worship God at the temple. You can worship wherever you want. We'll worship at Dan or Bethel. Just do what feels good to you. And it was insulting the Lord. And both these places, unfortunately, even though they were prosperous, they were taking advantage of people. They were ripping off widows. They were taking advantage of the poor. They were fleecing the flock, so to speak, instead of feeding the flock. It was a bad time. Did you have something? Were you stretching, or were you? Okay, guys. Okay. So we're going to start off in Amos chapter 3. Verse 1, and we're going to go through this and together. So give me 1 second to turn there myself, and we'll go through it together. All right. So it starts off, it says, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family I brought up out of Egypt. Verse 2 continues and says, you only have I chosen of all the families of the earth. Wow. Therefore, I will punish you for your sins. Now, that's a doozy right there, okay? So the first thing that God says to them, and if you remember, he's been telling them, and I'm going to be bringing judgment. I'm going to be judging the Gentile nations, right? And all the God's people are like, yeah, those bad pagans, get them. And then they're like, but you guys know me more. You guys should be more godly, more holy, and you're less holy. You're more ungodly than the pagans. And so I'm coming after you. Judgment's coming after you. And then they're like, whoa, 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 I don't want that. But if you remember, you know, too much is given, much is required. You've been given a gift, sometimes an incredible gift. And so much more is required of you. You cannot walk according to the flesh as a Christian. it's not, you can't think according to the flesh as a Christian. You can't operate according to the flesh as a Christian. You have to learn, and I say learn, to go against the flow, to go against your own flesh, to go against your own culture, and to follow the Lord. So he starts off with this. It starts off, and I would imagine the people, right? This sheep herder prophet Amos has the attention of the people. He's pronouncing judgment. He's going all everywhere pronouncing judgment, right? This is coming. He's now going to deliver three messages in Amos chapter 3, verse 1, Amos chapter 4, verse 1. Don't worry, we're not all going to cover that today. Amos chapter 5, verse 1, and they all begin with hear this word. And that's really interesting to me. Now, Amos is reminding the people, right, that his words are not just eloquent speech, and they're not just fanciful words. He's not trying to give persuasive talk. And if you think that's what sharing God's word is all about, let me tell you, it is not at all. Okay, and they're hearing the word of God being spoken to them through Amos by the power of the Holy Spirit, not just some sheep herder guy. And so we have to remember that for us as well, that when we're hearing the word of God, you're not hearing this guy, Darren, whether he's a good communicator, bad communicator. You're hearing, right, the person who's God anointed to speak the word of God to you in power by the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can take home something, so that you can be challenged, so that you can be strengthened, so that you can be encouraged. Okay, just like Amos, whoever comes up here and shares with you, right? So it reminds me of the scripture in 1 Thessalonians. We have to receive things the correct way, right? 1 Thessalonians 2:13 said this. He says, we also thank God. He was writing to the Thessalonians. He said, continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the words of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work within you who believe. So listen. Take the Darren part out of it. What you're receiving is the word of God. This is important stuff. And so we need to receive it that way. God, let me, because I could be talking till the cows come home. And then, can I go? It's okay. And you could go home and you could say, I don't want nothing to do with that. Who cares? And move on with life. And you've missed everything. God's trying to communicate. You can either reject or receive it. That's up to you. In fact, that's one of the most frustrating things about being a pastor. It's the most encouraging thing and the most frustrating thing. Because when you preach the word to people, they got two choices. When they receive it, oh, there's rejoicing in my heart. When they reject it, oh, there's grief because you care. And if that's happening to me, imagine what it happens with God. And we have to remember that these words here, they're not just words on a page. Listen, God didn't give you these words to get more information in your head. He gave you these words to get transformation in your heart, transformation in your life, not information. Does that make sense? Right? And so we have to remember that these prophets that are speaking, in fact, it says in 2 Peter 1, 20-21, above all, you must realize that no prophecy of Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit as they spoke from God. So these scriptures are anointed. They're God-breathed. They're inspired. And we can't think anything less of that. And we can't pick and choose what we want to obey and what we don't want to obey. So we also have an incredible life privilege of hearing the word. You know, there are people, there are countries, I watched this, we showed it to the youth a couple of years back. You know, folks in China, many countries of the world that they don't have the Bible. Some of them will just have a page of a Bible, or in North Korea, or they just have a couple of pages. And to them, they'd rather, their whole family, we can all die for this. If they just find this, we'll all be imprisoned. They'll condemn our home. They'll take away everything we own. But it's so precious to us. Right? That it doesn't matter. We're going to keep it in our hearts anyway. We're going to keep it, even if it means we get imprisoned, even if it means death. And yet, many times, what's the first thing that we put away? What's the last thing we go to in the morning, right? Because we're busy. You see what I'm saying? Listen, we have to remember that this life privilege of hearing God's word by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's meant to guide you, right? And I say by the power of the Holy Spirit because, again, we're not reading information on a page. We're asking God, Lord, will you speak to me? Transform my heart and life. God's word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, acts as like a compass. Okay, I don't know if this is a good analogy or bad analogy. You can tell me afterwards. But picture God's word, right, in your life as this compass in life. And there's going to be tons of people that will be pulling you to the... Oh, the Lord, every time. I tried to say this during graduation. He stopped me there too. Anyways, there's going to be tons of times where... I'm trying to rethink how I want to say it now, so that's why I'm delaying this. There's going to be tons of times where people are going to be like, hey, I want you to be more liberal in your thinking, and you need to go the way of the culture, and you need to go the way, this is the way the world's going. You need to go this way, and they're going to pressure. And then you're going to have, go to the East Coast, then the West is going to be like, you need to be more religious. And then you're going to have the enemy and his demonic forces. They're going to try to pull you back south, back the other way, the way you came, you know, the way you were, what you were before, right? They're going to keep trying to pull you back. But yet, the Holy Spirit, right, he's pointing you. Where do you notice it's pointing, right? What is it? To the north, and he's pointing right to the sun. Now, in here, it's the S-U-N, right? However, in my illustration in my head when I made the scripture picture, that directional is pointing towards the S-O-N. Does that make sense? So God's word, empowered by the Holy Spirit, always directs us to the sun. No matter who's pulling you to the right or to the left or backwards, God's word, by the power of his Holy Spirit, is saying, I want you to walk this way. Don't go to the right or to the left. Hear my voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And their life, this is a privilege he's given you. Not everybody has it. John 6:63 says, the Spirit gives life, right? The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, he says, are spirit and their life. So that's why we pray every time we read this book, even if you're not feeling anything in the beginning, Lord, speak to me every time. You should be praying that every time I'm up here, every time you listen to a teaching online, watch a YouTube video, a Christian, Lord, will you speak to me what you want me to hear? Lord, help me to reject anything that's not of you and accept everything else. Every time you do a devotion, ask the Holy Spirit, God, would you guide me? Will you speak to me? Help me to listen to you, to learn to listen to your voice. Lord, and guide me, because that's what he wants to do. Like God's people back then, if we choose not to open our hearts and hear his word and obey it, we're in danger of hardening our hearts and incurring God's discipline or wrath. Listen, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but some of you are miserable for a reason. And you know why you're miserable? I'm not looking at anybody. Right at me. There's another person that leaves the church. This happens all the time. So I'm not looking at anybody, okay? I'm looking above everybody specifically. Some of you are struggling because, and you're miserable, and you're angry, and you're because you're not obeying the Lord. There's a portion in your life that you're not giving up. There's an area in your life that you're refusing to let go of. And even though you've got all this other God stuff, you are miserable when you come right down to it. And you know why. So I don't want to be like these Christians. Israel and Judah, they were rebelling against the Lord. Hey, we got lots of religious stuff going on. We're going to church. We got youth groups. We got sacrifices. We're going, oh yeah. But they were hardening their hearts to what God was saying. He was bringing prophets saying, hey, repent, stop it. And people weren't listening. But you have a choice when you receive God's word and just trust him. I can't do this, Lord. I can't, but I'm going to because of you. Then this is the result. It's the blessing. And I can't think of a better scripture picture than that. See, because when you choose to trust the Lord, and here's what I'm saying. Now, especially in the area that you just can't. I just can't do this. I just can't do that. I just can't give that up. I just can't move. Whatever you trust, this is the result, is the blessing. There was a time when they were like, the disciples were like, hey, Jesus, your mother's here, and your brothers are here. And they were like, wow, your family's here to see you. Isn't that great? And Jesus said something that was a little shocking to me. But I want you to understand to Jesus what family is, what friend is. He says, Jesus replied, my mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word and... Is that always easy? Sometimes I want to say H-E double hockey sticks, no. Sometimes it is very difficult. But God is calling you to do it anyway. He's calling me to do it anyway. Listen, they hardened their heart back then, and you can harden your heart now. No one makes this decision for you. I can't. And it's frustrating. But Hebrews 3, this is the New King James Version. I really liked how they said it. Hebrews 3, 7 to 9 is calling us to be faithful. And he says this, listen, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice speaking to you about some things, right? He says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of the wilderness, right? Don't do the same thing that God's people did time and time again. Oh, I just don't want to hear this, Lord. I don't want to hear this. Yeah, I don't really like going to that church because they're always challenging me and stuff. I don't like it. I want to go to a funner church. I want to hype five people in this. I don't want to worry about all this stuff. OMG. You know, it's, listen, don't harden your hearts. Listen to what he's saying, right? First off, if you're hearing his voice, that's wonderful, even if it's conviction. Hallelujah, thank God. Now, we don't think of it that way sometimes, but thank you, Lord. Don't harden your heart like they did. They spent 40 years in the desert. Most of them never entered into the land of milk and honey after they were promised because they refused to obey God. Don't do the same thing. And yes, I still don't know where the microphone is. Okay. Yes, okay, but go ahead.
Just to bring some attention, when you look at that image, despite how hardened his entire... you know, body is possibly by the flesh or by sin. If you notice just by reading it and just letting it go, look how much work is already done in him.
Yes.
Just when he opens the word.
Yes, and that's why I specifically chose this scripture picture, right?
A steadfast spirit.
Right? So he's reading the word, right? And what's happening to his hard, stony heart as he's letting the word of God penetrate into his heart, not just into his head, right? Something's happening to him. There's a change. There's a warmth, right? Could you bring that microphone back to that young man in the back? Thanks.
Would you please give us a really strong, distinct explanation for the word heart in our spiritual walk?
Okay. It caught me off guard with that one. It's specifically something that the Lord keeps prompting you about, whatever that is. What it is for you isn't what it is for you, probably, and it isn't what it is for you. It's specific because God is personal, and he'll say something to you very specific. You'll start to feel a little tug, thinking, I should be doing this. Oh, God's calling me to children's ministry, but I don't really want to be bothered with that once a month. I know I should be serving more. I know I should be going to this Bible study, or I know I shouldn't be doing this. I know I shouldn't be looking at this anymore. I know that I should get this out of my life. He says to cut the sin off and throw it away. I know it, but I keep putting it off. And at first, it starts off a little bit like this. That's probably not God speaking to me. It's probably just me. I'm probably just feeling guilty, all that religious stuff, you know. And then if it keeps, he'll keep putting it in your heart and your mind. And then you finally, you're just like, okay, I la, 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 can't hear you, God. la, 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 la. And then finally, you're going to feel this, oh my gosh, such guilt. And I know that I'm doing, and then you're going to try to put out of your head, no, it's okay. It's okay. I can do that. I'm doing all these other things. And you have the justification. I'm doing all these other things right. And I'm a godly, I'm a good person. And God's like, you're doing this wrong. Stop it. I love you. It's hurting you. It's hurting others around you. You don't even realize it, but you're damaging others. Hardening your heart is to continue to say no to God when he's speaking something clearly to you, right? Don't do that. Does that make sense, everyone?
So it's our innermost desires driven by the Spirit of God.
It's our innermost desires driven by God instead of our flesh. That's what we want to do. That's going to break, right, as we let God's word in. That's going to break our hardened hearts. Because my flesh wants what it wants when it wants it. Right? I want to live this way. I can make excuses. Apart from the Lord, I am awesome at it. I can lie to myself. I can justify things fantastically. I'm not saying you. Let's just say me. And God's like, nope. Sometimes I say this, and I hope this comes across the right way. I say, the Lord, I don't know if I should say this, should I? I am. The Lord has me on a short chain or short leash. If I do anything wrong at all, it's like, no, bad, oh, Lord, but let me just, how about I? It's like, but I am ultimately thankful for it. Because, okay, that helps me to keep walking. That means he loves me and he's correcting me and I keep going. So don't harden your hearts. Just say, yes, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to get this sin out of my life, or I'm going to not do this. I'm going to do this and I need your help. I need your power to do it because I can't break it on my own. Listen, if you could break everything, every sin and bondage in your life on your own, you wouldn't need Jesus. You wouldn't need the power of the Holy Spirit. You could just do it on your own. We need his help. Lord, help me. Help me to do whatever it takes. I've actually said this. I hope this doesn't freak anybody out. There's been a few times in my life I said, Lord, do anything. You want to pray a prayer? Do anything in my life, right? Anything short of killing me. Anything in my life to help me do blank, not do blank. You know, if you'll earnestly pray that, God is faithful.
I always do that and say, Lord, with all your grace and all your mercy,
yes.
Yes. Because that, it can be a lot harder.
You know it. It will be. And here's the thing. It says in here, if you notice in that verse 1, it says, this is spoken against you, against the whole family. So he's speaking to both Israel and Judah here, but he's also speaking to us today, right, in his church. It says, and he's saying, I brought you out of Egypt. Listen, I have chosen you of all the families of the earth. Like he's saying, God's people's disobedience and rebelliousness, they were all the more inexcusable because I've shown you miracles. I led you by, the cloud by day, fire by night. I freed you from slavery. Remember the plagues? All these things. You saw it with your own eyes. I've demonstrated this love for you. And maybe you're thinking you're getting a free pass, the get out of jail free card. No. It's those pagans, all those bad non-Christians. They're the problem. You know what? Many times the real problem is in our own heart. How about you focus there first? You'll do us all a favor if we do that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Everybody? Capiche? Listen, I know there's a lot of scriptures, but in the same way, God has already demonstrated his love for you. Listen, look, I'll go to Flo. You would be a knucklehead without the Lord. Listen, Romans 5:8 says that God has demonstrated his love for us. And that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Every sin, it's all paid for, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's already showed you. In response, how should we live? I don't know if I can say this right, but He says, therefore, because of all this, I'm going to discipline you. I'm going to punish you for your sins. You should know better. Well, Pastor, I don't like discipline. And I just think we should talk about the love of the Lord all the time and not talk about, we have to be balanced. The Bible talks about both. Listen, in fact, in Hebrews 12:6, it says the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes each one he accepts as his child. Ugh. But it's a blessing. Now listen, I'm sure when God has called them, right? It says, look, it was an effective call, an exclusive call, an accountable call. He says, I brought you out of Egypt, right? That's an effective call. I did this. He said, I chose you, right? And it's an exclusive call. I loved you. I chose you. And then it's an accountable call also. That's what people don't like. He says, I'm going to punish you for that, for your sins, if you continue to rebel against me. So what do we do? What do we do? And here's the big changer. Oh my goodness, I'm only in verse 2. The big thing is Matthew 7:24-25. You guys are hearing the word well here by the grace of God. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and what? Puts them into practice. See, that's the key. Is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the hurricane blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. See, when you practice the word of God, when you put it into practice and you learn that you're going to have harder trials down the road. That's just what it is. And if you learn to obey now, you're going to be able to withstand any storm, any hurricane, anything that comes your way. Does that make sense? And that's what he's preparing you for. He's preparing you for your walk. But remember, he's called. This is an exclusive call. This is an amazing call, but it's an accountable call. This is Ephesians 4:1. Remember the privilege that you had, the privilege that they had, and they totally blew it. It's like, yeah, okay, I don't care. And sometimes we can have that attitude ourselves, right? Sometimes I can, okay, I'll just say me. Everybody's looking at me. Oh, maybe I'm the only one. Sometimes I can have a little spoiled brat attitude. I do all this other stuff, Lord. I just want to do this. Listen, in Ephesians 4:1, God reminds us, this is the New King James Version. He said, you're called. Remember this. This is what he's called you to in this walk. This is Paul. He's urging, he's begging as a prisoner. He's a prisoner at this time. And he's begging people. I want you, and this would be what I would be begging you to do, to walk, and what God is begging, really, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And walk worthy, what do you think that means? I'm going to ask you, Jason. What do you think, where's that microphone? I know we didn't plan this, but what does that mean?
Do we ever?
What does it mean to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called? What do you think that means?
It means to walk in a way that people can't find fault in you. Walk in a way that even if they do try to tear you down or anything like that, that you know in the Lord that you've done the right thing.
You
walk
going.
With integrity.
Right.
You keep going and you walk and you fight the good fight of faith.
Good. Good word. He goes on these next three verses. He goes, he says, do two walk together unless they've agreed to do so? Now, real quickly here, Gary, my timekeeper isn't here. So, where is he? Oh, Gary, what are you doing way back there? Okay, so it says, the people of Israel and Judah were probably saying of Amos, who's this backwater sheep herder? Why is he prophesying all this stuff? He's a nobody. We don't even know. He hasn't gone to the school of the prophets. He's a nobody. What gives him the authority to speak to us like that? This guy's got no godly training. He's got no education in the Lord. He's got no religious credentials. And why is he talking to us about God? And maybe people say that of you. Who are you to speak about the Lord? Well, you're in good company. When it comes to Christians, D.L. Moody was an uneducated shoe salesman when he began to preach and teach the Bible, right? Yet the Moody Institute in Chicago, the Bible college, right? That's him. Or 104, you know. Billy Sunday was a poor baseball player without a religious education or credentials either, and he led evangelistic crusades all over the world. In verse 3 to 6, Amos is responding to their ridicule with seven statements that they would know as true, which was going to reinforce his final point in verse 7, which we'll get to in a second. But he says this. He says, okay, guys, listen. Does a lion roar in the thicket when it has its prey? Does it growl in its den when it has caught nothing? It's like, does a bird swoop down to a trap on the ground when no bait is there? Does a trap spring from the ground if it has not caught anything? He goes on to say, he's trying to tell them, listen, when a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? It's not going to be an accident when those cities are destroyed, when you're ripping people off. It's not going to be by chance. It's going to be the Lord. And so then he ends up in this verse here, 3:7, he finalizes his point. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. And I'm one of them. So the last seven statements, right, in verses 3 to 6, would have been obviously true to the people that were speaking. It's almost like saying, no, duh, or right, or is the Pope Catholic? And so he's like saying, you know, hey, if an ordinary, untrained sheepherder guy like me is prophesying stuff that's true and accurate and powerful in the Lord, then you know what? Obviously, God has revealed it to him and called him to do so. Just as Moses didn't come up with the plan to save the Israelites himself, right? Excuse me, Moses didn't think, hey, we need to free those Israelites. I got to do something. No, it was God that was saying, God came to him. Do you remember? To Moses? And said, this is what I'm doing, and you're going to help me. I don't know if you remember. Exodus 3:7-8, he's revealing, the Lord said, I have indeed seen my misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land flowing with milk and honey, even though they didn't get in because they were all too afraid to trust the Lord. But God is the one that's revealing things. This is what I'm doing. And he revealed it to Moses, and he's revealing it to Amos. It goes on to say in Amos 3:8, he says, the lion has roared. Who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? In other words, Israel's going to be judged by the Assyrian army, and Judah's going to be judged by the Babylonians soon. And it's like Amos is saying, guys, I can't make up this stuff. Why would I endure ridicule and rage and resistance and rejection, reviling, going to you guys, having you kick me out of your land? Why would I do all that? I'm just a sheep herder. I wouldn't do it if it wasn't from the Lord. And when it says the lion has roared, the Lord has spoken, he's saying, I do it only because God has spoken in power, and I fear God over man. God has so powerfully spoken to me that I can't contain it even if I wanted to. You know why I'm up here speaking to you every week? It's because God has called me to do so. He's put it on my heart. And sometimes I think, oh, I just don't want it to. Lord, it'd be so much easier. Nobody would attack me. Nobody would say bad things. Because if you're not doing anything, then the enemy brings in gossip or innuendo, or I'll take some truth, twist it all around. There's always more attacks from more angles. It's like, oh, my goodness. And sometimes I think, well, maybe I'll just shut up, take my ball, and go home. And God is like, oh, then you're just going to be worse. And I know that in my heart because he's put the word and the fire of the Holy Spirit in my heart. I have to do it. I fear God more than I do how difficult it is sometimes. Mark Driscoll, a pastor, said this, fear God, not man. And what to do gets very clear very quickly. Does that make sense? If you fear God more than you do man, Proverbs says fearing man is a snare, right? And so that's a reverential respect. Matthew puts it this way, Matthew 10:28. Don't be afraid of those who can kill your body and not touch your soul. Fear God, who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Whew. Listen, it's almost like Jeremiah. Jeremiah said the same thing. He's just doing what God told him to do, right? And he was thinking everybody would be like, oh, thank you, Pastor Jeremiah, for bringing me the good word. Let me bless you with this gift. And you know what? He was getting attacked and lipped and beaten and thrown into a well and yada, yada, yada. And he finally said this. He said, and I get it. He says, but if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. He said, it's like a fire in my bones. I'm worn out. I'm trying to hold it in. I can't do it. Right? So, you know, I watch a lot of pastors and they leave if they don't make big bucks. Do you know what? Whether I make money or don't money, make no money, this is what I'm going to be doing. Because I do it for the Lord. Because of him. Does that make sense, everybody? And then how long have I speaking, Pastor?
46 minutes.
Okay, good. I'm going to wrap it up. All right. So maybe you are in that same spot where you think, oh gosh, I'm just a sheep herder. I'm just a waitress. I'm just a plumber. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Listen, you know what? You are just called by God to speak and to tell people about him. I'm just retired, Flo, but I'm going to tell people about the Lord, everyone I can around me. Does that make sense? Even with my faults, well, I can't because I screw up too much. Listen, I am in that same boat with you. And you know what I do? I ask him to forgive me and help me to do better next time, Lord. And I keep going on that walk, to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Does that make sense? Because it's in my heart and it burns like a fire. And I can say no to him. I can walk away. I can pretend. I can do all these things. But in the end, it's going to be more miserable for me not doing what God. In the immediate, I'm going to be happy. If I don't come in for a month of Sundays, you know what? Just to be honest, it's going to be a lot easier for me. No pressure, relax, more time with the family, more kickback. You know what? But in the long run, just like any sin, I'm going to be miserable because I'm not doing what he's called me to do. Maybe God's called some of you to do something that you're not doing because you don't think you can handle it or you can't. But God has called you and you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. That's not a fancy bumper sticker. That's a truth. And we'll end with these last two verses. Proclaim to the fortresses of Ashdod, the fortresses of Egypt, assemble yourselves on the mountains of Samaria, see the great unrest within her and the oppression among her people. They do not know how to do right anymore, declares the Lord. They store up in their fortresses what they have plundered and looted. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, the enemy will overrun your land, pull down your strongholds, and plunder your fortresses. And Ashdod was a leading city of the Philistines, and Egypt was a world leader and a pagan superpower. So the sin is so bad amongst God's people in Israel that God is actually inviting pagan nations, and that's represented by Ashdod in Egypt, to come to Samaria, that's the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, to see and judge their sin for themselves, as even they, as pagans, would be disgusted by it. They're so conditioned to sin, right? They don't even know how to do right anymore. That just do bad all the time. It's such an indictment against them, and I don't want that. Yes, sorry. Go ahead.
I remember in your previous teaching where you talked about how wicked Assyria was in their brutal techniques, just about anyone that they would conquer.
You really start
to understand just how much of a weight the price of sin really is, and how much, why it's so important.
And the judgment,
to heed the
how
Lord.
Severe that is to avoid that. Yes, absolutely. But God's been trying and trying and trying, and now it's the hammer's coming down. Hey, George?
Yes, sir.
We're not moving forward. Any idea why?
Because
Would you go to the next? Okay. It says, Amos 13:12, this is what the Lord says, as a shepherd rescues from the lion's mouth only two leg bones or a piece of an ear, so will the Israelites living in Samaria be rescued with only the head of a bed and a piece of a fabric from a couch. In other words, you're just going to get remnants. You're just going to get rubble. You're going to get the headboard. You're going to get, you know, a pillow. Everything else is going to be destroyed. In just a few years, the prophecy was fulfilled, and the affluent nation of Israel was crushed by Assyria in 722 BC. And the few people or pieces that were left over, the remnant, will be taken and scattered amongst the Assyrians. They rebelled against God. They stole, they plundered widows and poor people to make themselves rich, right? And in fact, God is saying, now I'm going to plunder you. You misused my name. You misrepresented me to the people. And you have done damage more than you can even imagine. And to illustrate what's happening, Amos has borrowed his experience from a sheep herder, from a shepherd. And so these last verses here, he says, hear this and testify against the descendants of Jacob, declares the Lord God Almighty. On the day I punish Israel for her sins, I will destroy the altars of Bethel. The horns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground. The horns would have represented strength. And all the strength of your religion and all that, it's going to be smashed to bits. I will tear down the winter house along with the summer house. The houses adorned with ivory will be destroyed and the mansions will be demolished, declared the Lord. In other words, all those riches, all that stuff you thought you were getting away with, all that money you were stealing from fleecing the flock and ripping off people, I'm going to bring it all back around. And everything that you have, I'm going to take away now because you wouldn't listen to me. And as a person who's followed the Lord for many years, I have learned to appreciate more the correction of God before it gets to the point of like rebuke or wrath. Because let me tell you, I absolutely guarantee no one here ever wants that. I've experienced it twice. I don't want that for anyone. But he loves you, and he'll do whatever it takes to turn you the right direction. Does that make sense? Now, I realize this is a heavy message, okay? But sometimes that could be good. So here's the takeaway. Remember that God has called you. Remember that he's called you to live a life worthy of the gospel. Remember that you should be, I should be, we should be doing that. Not that you're going to do it perfectly. Are you perfect? Yeah, you don't need to shake your head as well. We know. No. And if I said, am I perfect, Lisa? Why are you making fun? No, why are you making faces? So the point is, we all need help. So we're going to take 1 minute and we're going to pray because we need God's help. But God wants us, and he's called us to live a life, right, that tells other people, hey, I'm not quitting. This is who I am. I'm for him, not against him, and I'm going to draw people to him. So, Lord, will you please help us and strengthen us, Lord God. We cannot do this without you, Lord God. Lord, will you help each one of us in our own way to walk our Christian walk in a manner that is worthy of you, Lord God? That even though people would say things or attack us or whatever, it almost, even though it affects us, it wouldn't matter because we'd keep going with our eyes fixed on you because you're the starter and the finisher of our faith, Lord God. And so I pray that you would bless every person who hears this message now and later on in the week, Lord, that you would give them the strength, the power, the resolve, the perseverance, the endurance, the joy, whatever it is that they need, you would supply all their needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus, that they would live that kind of life, die to the flesh, and live for you, Lord. Bless them with that kind of a testimony and help them to remember that they're called. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.